You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. 7:07 on the Wake Up Tucson show. Patty comes in. She sees my giant bag of dog food. Here, let me give you sound. I'll give you some sound here. Like one of those Foley artists. My wife's like, hey, we got this extra bag of dog food. You want to give it to the Humane Society? Because I know they take donations. And I said, sure. And so Patty comes in and she goes, hey, what's with the dog food? I said, well, have you been seeing what's going on with this Biden inflation? This is the new diet. It's the human Iams lemon rice diet. I just eat it like Captain Crunch Berries is what I do. So 7:08 in the morning, Steve Farley from the Humane Society in the third hour. Joanne DiFilippo is coming up really soon. Oh, she's there, or are you bullcrapping with her? Oh, okay. she's a talker. We love our Joanne. But so we got a lot of stuff to run. Wait till we get to. We have a guy who tried to burn down Travis Peters Delta downtown. We got a bomb squad running around Stone and Pennington. No, sorry, Scott and Pennington. Just it's wild. And then I put a question on my Facebook page, which blew up, which I didn't realize is if someone built a theater the size of the Rialto or the Fox in Marana, how would it do? And that blew up like you would never believe. But let's go right to the phones. Out on the old audit, we call it the old audit ranch. Our good friend Joanne DiFilippo, how are you doing, young lady?
Good morning. How are you too? I do want to add a comment that it's not really a matter of me keeping tabs on Pima County or whatever. It's I've always wanted to teach a class at university college level on how to understand operatives within your government, and it wouldn't matter if you're here or like Detroit, Michigan, or whatever. Because it's the same, once you learn the operatives, it really applies anywhere you go. I just think that it's really something vital for people to understand. So it's one of the reasons why I do this, because I took the time to learn it, and I do like to share that experience
so
with others.
So I want to support you on this. So our friend of the show, our old intern, Max Daffron, who used to work for in Allie's office, right? He got his master's in public administration from the U of A, right? And so what happened was he was taking that fantasy land full of courses while hanging out with me, Joe, and Allie. And literally saw, here's the whitewashed version the U of A is selling, and then I go to do reality later.
Yeah, it really, somebody should do this as a reality TV show. Following your government, preparing for their public meetings.
So I just announced on the show with Dan Shearer that the Pima County government is delaying the approval of the budget until after the fiscal year actually commences after July 1. What's going on? Has this ever happened before? What are we missing?
Well, I asked some former Board of Supervisors politicians because I found it kind of interesting, and I couldn't remember ever seeing anything this late previously myself. And, the resounding comment that I got was, no, this is not normal. Usually they will have it approved before the beginning of the new fiscal year, which is July 1 of every year. But what I did find really interesting, and the vote did go through. Let me get to this page here. It actually, Bronson was one who said, we're going to postpone this to July 5th. Okay. Now, what's interesting, I checked this morning on the county's website, okay, it needs to be updated, but listen to what it has. It says, right on the front page there in the little highlights, board adopts tentative FY23 budget, reduces tax rate for fifth year in a row, will vote on final adoption June 21. Now, remember, it says reduces tax rate for fifth year in a row, yet on the Board of Supervisors agenda, for yesterday's meeting, it says Board of Supervisors will conduct a public hearing on proposed expenditures and Pima County's intent to raise the primary property tax over last year's level. I thought, boy, somebody needs to get their text in sync with one another here.
Hold on. So this memo said they were going to raise the taxes?
Yeah, it's the agenda. It's the agenda item. I'm reading it right off, pursuant to ARS Section 42-17104 and 42-17107. The Board of Supervisors will conduct a public hearing on proposed expenditures and Pima County's intent to raise the primary property taxes over last year's level. I'm reading it right off the agenda.
It was in the news story yesterday, too. Yep.
What a bunch of sick puppies. So what happened? Yeah. Do you think they got enough heat that there's and some of their political advisors saying, why would you raise taxes in the middle of this horrible beginning of a possible recession and inflation period?
Well, I'll tell you, I caught two of the people in their call to the public. One was somebody by the name of Laura who just said, no more taxes. And she was very vehement about what she was speaking about. And then somebody else, just made a comment that, you know, not everybody can have a daddy that serves on the Congress. These people were clearly, I made note of that. These people were clearly not happy about, you know, what was occurring with taxes. But what's really interesting here is, again, if you go to the county administrator's webpage and you take a look at the memos, now you'll see two memos from Jan Lesher there, and they're both dated June 21. So what that meant is both of these memos were issued prior to the June 21 board meeting, meaning that these items would be brought up at the board meeting. Well, the first memo, actually, and it came out, I want to say maybe sometime last week, earlier in the week. And basically, Jan's saying to them, hey, you know, we've already recommended the budget has an identified portion of funding for these raises, $7.5 million for the general fund. And she's talking about, you know, various scenarios. And she says, I recommend the District 5 DC5C scenario, as this is the closest to the original recommended budget proposal and will only have an increase impact of $690,000. So she went through and gave them, maybe 8 different scenarios they could choose from, right? Then I noticed that must have been last Friday. Somehow something got to county administrator's office, and there's another memo that came out. But this one is titled, The Use of Fund Balance to Cover Additional Salary Increase Costs. And what she says in there is that, hey, you know, guys, be aware of the fact that using the general fund balance for one-time money, such as these salary increases, you know, if you do that for ongoing expenses, it's going to create a financial hole for the board when adopting future year budgets. Well, no kidding. Didn't somebody realize that through all these discussions?
So this is a tough thing for all of them. This is the first time without baby Chucky doing the entire budget.
Yeah.
I mean, this crap's usually done in December, right? He has a binder that comes out called the Chuck Book, and everyone in the department's supposed to back their crap into his numbers. And then they do some bullcrap meetings, and then it gets passed usually with not a problem.
Yes. And remember, and so Jan goes on, she says, therefore, to ensure that all funds are financially sound, I continue to recommend that all departments be required to eliminate vacant positions that are not currently being recruited or reduce other operational costs to fund the various salary increase scenarios. So there's a little bit of singing a different tune here.
So what did they say during the meeting? We got to go real quick, go to break, and then come back and do a segment. But tell me, what was their reason for not passing the budget in time for a fiscal year to start?
You know, all I heard was Sharon say, I'm going to propose that we postpone this to July the 5th. I did not hear if anyone made a beginning comment on this.
Gotcha.
The only thing I did, as soon as she said that, I went and took a look at these two memos. And that's when I discovered that, somebody has made a comment about using the general fund balance.
All right.
And then she directed the staff to draft a fund balance policy for consideration. And it appears that Supervisor Scott must have questioned this at the June 7th board meeting. So obviously there, you know, there's a behind the scenes second guessing and second questioning going on.
All right, hold that thought. When we come back, we got one more segment with Joanne DeFilippo. She is one of our eyes on what's going on in the Pima County budget, and of course, all of their memos. This all comes from their stuff, kids. She's not doing anything that you can't do. She's just a little better at it than the average bear. So, 7:17 in the morning. It's S Day. Eye of the Tiger for DeFilippo. Here she goes. All right, little folk rock Straubs on a S kind of Wednesday. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We got one more segment with Joanne DeFilippo, who is our Pima County, she's our Hawkeye. She's watching. Joanne, welcome back, ma'am.
Thank you, Chris.
Hey, I'm looking at this one spreadsheet you sent me. So remember we always talk about, you know, the Chuckster would say, you know, we don't got any money for the roads, right? And then we had Cornelio said, remember she was had the truth serum on her, and she said that 97% of the money that was going to overhead in the transportation department, right? And
yeah,
then I'm looking
to pay for salaries. Yeah.
Pay for salaries.
It's to pay for transportation expenses, yeah.
But not fixing roads, other than possibly filling in with some, a pothole.
No. Chuck's rationale was that everything that they do in the transportation department then would lead into the efforts of fixing the roads. That was his justification. You know, and as
that never translated into reality, of course.
Well, you know, again, I'm
with you. So the one I want to get to is, this is, I want to use Joe's numbers. I always use the numbers. This is a county file 14059, February 15th of 2022, a 5-year contract with the University of Arizona to give $1 million in HERF funds to transportation engineering education.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
One of the things that I was doing, and this was as a result of an exercise I did to look at the Small Business Commission, like what are the types of valuation consulting contracts, et cetera, that the county issues? I wanted to get an idea. And, you know, someday we'll talk about this, how you go into the clerk of the board's website and you use the file list tab and you can search anything you want. And it pulls up data like that. And it's a great way to find and sort data. So I was going through and I ran across that contract. Yeah, totally. And it's something that unless you run the data that way, it really just slips by you.
Hey, Joe, is that $1 million a year?
Well, usually, you know, the way they write their contracts is it's a 1 year with like 4 or 5 year renewal options.
Right. So and, I just want to explain to everyone who's been on this journey with us about not fixing roads, right, is the University of Arizona that is so flush with cash that they built a brand new headquarters right across the street from the U.S. Capitol that looks like the Playboy Mansion mixed with the Avengers Mansion, okay? The people so flush with cash, and then Pima County that can't fix a road, and they have a contract that we just that is earlier this year that we're literally going to give them $1 million of highway user revenue funds, which should be going to fix roads, to the University of Arizona for transportation engineering. Get the hell out of here! That's insane, insane.
And I believe what that was intended for was to have engineering students assist in the Department of Transportation with road projects, transportation projects.
That's a lot of cash.
And I remember when those would come up on the board agenda. Yeah.
Let's take a quick question. Robert, you're on with Joanne DeFilippo. What's up, Robert?
Joanne, with the run-up in property taxes because of the spending spree that just occurred, the increase in gas taxes, and the increase in retail taxes, wouldn't that make the county flush with money?
Well, what you have to look at, you have to contextualize everything and see. If you have a tax increase, do you have the same use performance? Because that's the only way that you might have an increase in HERF or VLT funds. If you've got people restricting what they're purchasing, you don't have an increase. Do you follow me? You have to go back and calculate because, again, it's all in a formula on state shared revenue. So it doesn't necessarily mean that if prices go up, you're going to be, your remittance portion is more. No.
Robert, thanks for the call. I got to get going. So we got 1 minute, Joe. Just tell me real minute and a half. We found out from Dan Sullivan from the Community Workforce Development at the meeting that somehow the city of Tucson is now not participating in rental assistance.
Yes. If you, Sharon Bronson put this item on the agenda, which I thought was really interesting because she doesn't normally do this kind of action. And what the reason why she put it on is she said her staff was having a hard time finding information and her office was getting a lot of calls. Calls were just being sent to voicemail, et cetera. And what it is, what resulted out of this, it's the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. Remember all that funding we put in for eviction prevention?
Yep.
Well, it's following in with this. And so then what happened is, you know, Sharon had Dan Sullivan come up and address this. And he said, well, you know, we've got a backlog until, I believe he said it was January of this year. But that they had already served 12,500 households. But now the city of Tucson was no longer going to be asking for any more emergency rental assistance funding. That task would now fall strictly on Pima County. Not only for the county, but for the city of Tucson also.
Wow.
That's huge.
That's an interesting thing that the city of Tucson is no longer it sounds like they're also going to do something on their own, but it sounds like they're not participating in the rental assistance program with the county. Wow.
Yes. And remember this. This is what taxpayers need to be aware of. Some years ago, at least probably 20, 30 years
You got
years
10
ago,
seconds to go.
Oh, okay. The city of Tucson is the lead and the fiscal agent for the housing consortium. If they're not handling emergency rental assistance, and they're the lead.
By request, Billy Joe Shaver.
All right. We got so much stuff to cover. Steve Farley, top of the hour, but I got to get to this real quick. So there's two other items on this spreadsheet that Joanne sent me. So just so you want to, so we're also blowing at, looks like $500,000 with the Mexican American Studies program at the U of A. Again, the U of A needs more money. it's too good. All my road guys are blowing my phone up now on giving money to the U of A transportation engineers. Million a year. It says a 5-year deal. So basically, we have a deal with the U of A to give them $5 million of taxpayer dollars that could go fix roads and build roads to the U of A. I'll tell you, man, it was a crazy day in Tucson yesterday. Not just the weather. We're on the edge of that big monsoon thunderstorm that moved up, but. So Travis Peters from the parish, you guys know Travis, right? Doing some pretty good Cajun food over there. I'm sure he stuck a lot of his own neck out to build the Delta downtown, which is in the old, Wianos spot there, across the street from the...
Stapler.
The Stapler, correct. The wonderful TEP building where we blew up the historic Santa Rita Hotel so we could have a gray block with no restaurants or retail on the bottom. But thank God the electric company needs to be downtown. Now, so Travis himself put this on. Pictures of a human being that says, I think Travis is too nice. What the heck's going on? Does this guy look familiar to anybody? He tried to burn down the Delta restaurant last night. I mean, how is this not a news item?
I think that's kind of a crime called arson, is it not?
Right. So then on What's Up, Tucson? Explosion 10 minutes ago near Pennington and Scott in downtown. La Chingada Cochina is on lockdown status. I assume that's the one that took over the Poca-Cosa. I don't really go there anymore. And then it says bomb squad officers patrolling the area. So that's downtown, going on downtown. So then, what else do we got here? Well, then I see this Arizona Commerce Authority posting that has like everyone from the Bank of Taiwan opening a big office in Phoenix. Thank you to the Bank of Taiwan Chairman Joseph Liu and our economic development partners for their continued collaboration. I shared the picture with, hey, well, we're giving free internet down here. But let's get to this. So I was talking to a couple of people yesterday, and they've been going downtown for years. You know, they're going to go to the Fox for Roger McGinn for his 46th performance, right? I got it. You know, they'll go to Rialto once in a while. It doesn't, you know, they're a little older. And then, of course, they've done the symphony and opera and all of that good stuff. And they made the mistake of parking at the El Centro garage for a show at the Fox. And they, I don't know what they were thinking. They walked the gauntlet from El Centro, which is the one down by Tool, by the Funky Monk where the shooting is, right, to the Fox. And they said that was the worst. What's your note for? The Delta? Oh, well, that's the name of the restaurant. That's it. That's life. I didn't make this stuff up. So, it's not on the FCC list. So, wasn't even thinking about it. I'm just reading what I read. So, so these people said, we're not going downtown again. We're done. Yeah, I know. So, we're going downtown, right? And so, he's like, we're never going downtown again. It's too dangerous. It's not worth the hassle. So I put down, if someone built a theater the size of the Rialto in Marana, would it be able to compete with the downtown venues? And give me a call, 790-2040. I would love to know if you think this is a good idea. So one of my favorite things was, you know, everyone's bringing up the Gaslight up in Oral Valley, which I think Tony's probably making some dough on, right? He keeps it pretty programmed year-round. But I think, yes, right? Especially, and why do I say Marana, right? And Sergio says this, you need plenty of land and near I-10. That's the thing, right? If you're going to be the lead municipality in the area, you should have something like this. Why do we keep going downtown? The dream of downtown, what's really, we're always five steps behind, right? I remember, was that Richard Florida guy, whatever, Varney used to bring him around about the creative class and blah, blah, blah. And they kept on saying, we need a downtown, we need a downtown. Why do I need a downtown? Right? It's an antiquated concept. Remember they said, oh, you need a downtown for young people to come work at your area. Right? Really? Scottsdale has their little cute downtown, but you know something? Those kids are spending money all over the place. It doesn't need to be a downtown. So I think the most interesting comment in Wastebook, I'm up to 50 comments on this, which is about 43 more than I thought I was going to get on this posting, right? But a guy, I love this one guy. He says, well, we love going downtown, right? But he had this hilarious line. He's like, well, my wife and I always go downtown. But then he literally says, but I'm always carrying my pistol with me. Right? So I guess that's fine. I guess, don't get me wrong. I think it's if you got a gun and you got to go downtown and you legally carry, I got it. But I just thought it was funny that the one guy said, well, no, Chris, we're good downtown. But I go downtown all the time, but I always carry my piece. So is that going to be the new downtown partnership promotion to come downtown? Hey, we got a Vita at the music hall. Make sure you bring your Luger, right? I mean, is that where we're at? Adriana, I would rather drive to Marana for a town from where she lives near Broadway and Houghton than go downtown. 790-2040. Tia Gloria, I know I'm in trouble. I apologize.
No, you're not in trouble. The city of Tucson is in trouble, Christopher.
Talk to me.
They have a sign department that, you know, you can't have sandwich boards, you can't do this, you can't do that. And they permit the name of a restaurant that is one of the filthiest words in the Spanish language.
It's the bad one that I read.
You did. It begins with a C.
I apologize.
Yes, thank you. And it means a woman who has been violated in a way. And then you said cochina, which made it even worse because cochina in Spanish means filthy. You were saying it in Italian.
I said it in Italian. I apologize. I mixed it up. I apologize.
So now this woman this filthy woman who has been violated is how it came out.
Oh, my Lord.
But yeah, and how in the Sam Hill do they not have a single Hispanic person at the city of Tucson who could have said to them, are you kidding? You want to name a downtown restaurant this? When I saw it, we do go downtown. We go downtown all the time.
Yeah.
And when I saw that sign, I almost said, stop. Just stop.
Well, I'm really
I'm
sorry.
Yes, you really. No. You said cochina, which just made it even worse.
Sorry.
But my darling, who is working at Development Services now that doesn't know what that CH word means?
Well, you know you know what we're missing here, I think, is if Tucson was enlightened enough to elect a Latina mayor who knew about this, then this would... Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so I'm going to get the second call.
Or a bilingual activist like Lane... she is on the court council, I forgot.
Oh, my goodness. My second call will
yes,
be
ma'am.
To Lane Santa Cruz, and the third call will be to the mayor's office, and then the letter to the editor, and yes, all of that. And I have a lot of work already to do. I'm behind on the laundry and everything else. But all of that's going to have to wait. You know, turn them inside out, Teddy, because I'm not doing laundry. I'm going to get on the phone, and I am ticked off.
Tia Gloria, love you lots. Thanks for the passion, as always. You take care, my friend. 790-2040 is the phone number. Let's sneak bill number two in before we go to break. Good morning, Billy.
Good morning, guys. You know, going downtown, I think anybody that's going down there is really asking for trouble. It's there to find you, and if you go down there and you're not looking for it, it'll find you. At least it'll show up at various times. You know, and the alternative is, okay, so you take your firearm with you to defend yourself. And let's say you do have to defend yourself, okay? And you are proven to be in the right, but you're going to be subjected to lawsuits, civilly and all that kind of stuff, for the rest of your life, probably. And you're going to have to hire lawyers and put up all that stuff. Now, Charles can probably explain this a lot better than I can. But my point is, don't even go through the motions. Your life could be a crazy hell after you kill someone legally, you know, because they were getting ready they were attacking you. The problem is heirs, whatever they have, will come after you for the rest of your life. All right. See you later.
Thank you, sir. So in the end, right, we'll talk about this when we come back. So look at the Rio Nuevo kids, right? What do they have left to lose? I mean, Fletcher has been just doing it. He's the original guy doing this, right? Fletcher, I need you to come out and say, it's hard to spend all this money leveraging all this stuff for what's going on downtown if the city won't bring any sort of law enforcement to heal down there, but bring law enforcement down there to try to mitigate the damage. I mean, that's the weird part, right? And again, Fletcher's the only guy who probably has any sort of intestinal fortitude to say it. The juggernaut's never going to say it, right? That's Edmund Marquez. He likes to say the word. You know, who's going to say it? Right? Irving? He's going to say it? Mark Irvin's not going to say it, right? But how do you, I mean, my thing is, I need Fletcher to come out and say, you know something? If you're going to go, if we're going to leverage hundreds of millions, whatever the miracle is of Rio Nuevo, and you're not demanding real police protection for the people down there, it's going to be a nightmare. Let's go to break. Take your phone calls, 790-2040. We're talking about, do you like going downtown anymore? Two, at the same time, if Marana built something that was like the size of the Fox or the Rialto, right off the interstate someplace as a venue, would you do, could it compete? Could it succeed? I think it can. That is the municipality of the future. It's not Tucson. Why would you want to drive through Tucson to get to downtown in the first place unless you can get on the interstate? Right? If you're going to live in that, if you're going to go down First Avenue and or like Stone to come downtown, and you got to dodge all the fentanyl people jumping in front of your car, why is that good? Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 voice. Oh, here we go. Little Steely Dan home at last. All right, home of champions, Tucson High. There was this mythology thing, right, called this guy Odysseus. Oh, forget about it. It's too over your head. I don't want to bring up the Odyssey to Tucson High students or teachers or administrators. It's not a drag show. That's all you guys need to know. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Coming up at the top of the hour is the El Presidente and CEO of the Humane Society, Stephen Farley. I will tell you that the response that I'm getting from people about going, if Marana built along I-10, right? And you know, the other thing is, right, that corridor is the real future of Tucson, right? When you see what's going on in Casa Grande, right, when you look at all of that real economic development of all those jobs between not just Lucid Motors, but Kohler coming out of Wisconsin and building a $500 million production facility in Casa Grande, right? This is where it's at. Marana, the town that gets it. Casa Grande, the town we thought would never get it, but they got enough cheap land and they're saying yes. Well, let's not even get it. I don't want to talk about where we're going to get water for all these people. That's a whole other show. That's the water show, okay? But at the same time, the idea that Marana, who's killing it over there, they've shown a tradition of great decision making, right? Taking care of stuff, right? The old classic DeSimone, right? Roads, parks, fire and police, right? They do that. They're responsible with your money, right? General fund goes to pay for overhead and transportation. HERF VLT goes directly to roads, right? When the recession happened in 08, they made the decision that we're not touching the money for, check this out, roads, parks, fire, safety, right? They've shown it. They've also shown the fact that if they pass a tax and they say it's going to be temporary, it's probably one of the only places on the planet that actually passes temporary taxes. That they've shown it, I think, twice so far. So if there's a community that gets it, I'm trying to fix the city of Tucson. I mean, between Regina Romero, Slane Santa Cruz, newly elected Jeffrey Dahl, right? All those people, right? It ain't happening. It's just not happening over there. So now it's just like, look, Vail and Sarita need to start working towards each other. Vail should incorporate, right? Start bringing in those state share dollars like they should have done probably 10 years ago, but here we are. There's no longer Chuck Huckleberry or Ray Carroll to be the poison pill in that whole Vail thing. Steve Christie is very open and very supportive of such things. And in conversations, it sounds like Jan Lesher is not going to take the Chuck Huckleberry train of no incorporations, no annexations. She gets it. This is why Jan's better than Chuck, right? Jan is not a vindictive control freak like Chuck Huckleberry. This is good for all of us, okay? Now, do I think that she should have been handed the job? I don't know, but this is where we're at. Now, handing the assistant, the second-in-command to Steve Holmes from Sunnyside, that was a mistake. The guy has shown himself to be an absolute loser as a school superintendent. When you have 15% of your entire school can read, basically, 15% K-12 reading at level, you shouldn't get a job anywhere. You should be going down, not moving up. But this is Pima County. It's about who you know, not how you do your job. So, Steve Holmes, you still stink. Okay? But at the point of this, that's back to the Marana thing. if they want to move up in the world, right, having an entertainment venue that drags people's tax dollars to them is a winner, right? Hop on the interstate. Don't have to drive through Tucson to get to anywhere. Even if you're on the east side. A lot of my east siders said, I'd rather just drive around whip around the interstate and get to Moran in a half hour than actually go to downtown Tucson. It's worth the extra 10 minutes up to Ina Road, Cortero Road, wherever you're going to build this thing. And Marana's got plenty of room to do this thing. And they could build something that's nice. Maybe it looks like it might even look like a mini, well, we used to call it Desert Sky Pavilion in the old days. But now it's something. Auction Pavilion, I think now. One on the west side. That kind of outdoor venue like AVA, right? It's got the top and it's got the open sides. Maybe it's something like that. But there's so many things that we should be doing up there, and I think that's a winner. I think less and less people are especially downtown's always had a problem bringing the people in from the burbs to come there, right? They don't like parallel parking. They don't, oh, well, where's a parking garage? Even though there's plenty of parking spaces, we've already done this. I'm there. But I think for a lot of people from the burbs that are still trying to do downtown, I think it feels a little feeling a little scummy. Too many tweakers. This is the same situation that drove Margo out of a Hydra clothing store on the corner there. She couldn't keep up with the amount of tweakers and drug people breaking her stuff, stealing her stuff, and harassing her customers. I mean, you know, in that Urban Land Institute study that Fletcher and the crew did, they said, well, one of the big things that downtown Tucson's dying for, and there's a picture of Hydra, is you need more places like Hydra, right? Imagine if you were a retailer, would you go in downtown Tucson with all the drug tweakers? Remember, that's why the CVS pharmacy didn't want to go into the old Chicago, the old Chicago building, because they were worried about shoplifting. Just saying. Fletcher, I need you to – yeah, Fletcher, you're almost retired. Just come out and say, city, just fix – we need cops downtown. It's getting sickening. Steve Farley, he'll be in here. I see him somewhere on the horizon. President and CEO of Humane Society. Wake up.